Our gospel lesson is found in the gospel according to Mark, the 11th chapter, beginning at verse 1. When they were approaching Jerusalem at Bethpage and Bethany near the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two of his disciples and said to them, "Go into the village ahead of you, and immediately as you enter it, you will find tied there a colt that has never been ridden. Untie it and bring it. For if anyone says to you, 'Why are you doing this?' Just say this, the Lord needs it and will send it back here immediately." They went away and found a colt tied near a door outside in the street. As they were untying it, some of the bystanders said to them, What are you doing untying the colt?" They told them what Jesus had said, and they allowed them to take it. Then they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks on it, and he sat on it. Many people spread their cloaks on the road, and others spread leafy branches that they had cut in the fields. Then those who went ahead and those who followed were shouting, "Hosanna! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our ancestor David. Hosanna in the highest heaven." Then he, Jesus, entered Jerusalem and went into the temple. And when he had looked around at everything, as it was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12. The Gospel of the Lord. As many of you know, I'm sure, yesterday, over a million teenagers and their supporters marched across the country, waving signs, singing in the streets, raising their voices against gun violence, and making their will known that enough is enough. They marched for their lives. It is sad that we have come to this, but inspiring that they have found their voice. I've attended many marches over the years. Some were silent protests where all you heard were the sound of silence as marching feet pound the pavement. Others were full of banging drums and clanging cymbals, undergirding the shouts of the people. Some had a spirit of peace and camaraderie, oh my goodness, love and goodwill. And others had a chord of nervous tension that just rippled through the entire crowd. Felt as though at any moment something might erupt. However, as different as each march was from the other, they all had one thing in common. Conflict. They were an expression of conflict between what was and what could or should be. From the beginning of Jesus' ministry, there was conflict. Conflict between him and the religious and political leaders. Conflict over who was blessed and who was forsaken, who was welcomed and who was rejected. Conflict over images of servanthood and leadership. Conflict between the letter of the law and the heart of the law. Conflict. Over and over again, Jesus opened their minds to another way of thinking about God, about righteousness and love and mercy and power. That conflict found its loudest voice in today's scripture passage as the people came from all over to march with Jesus into the city of Jerusalem. At long last, God has answered their prayers and sent them a Savior, one who has the power to rescue them from the tyranny of Rome. Caught up in the excitement and visions of what could be once Jesus was established God's kingdom, they rejoiced and they sang their praises. No more oppressive rule, no more cruelty, no more injustice, No longer are they silent and afraid. Instead, with all boldness born out of a belief that their day had finally come, they march with Jesus into Jerusalem, surrounding him with their energy, ushering him in with their praise. They lift him up as the one who is worthy of being king, for he is the one that they will save them. And so they throw their palm branches on the road before him, and they shout, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." The word Hosanna means, "We beseech you, Lord, save us." These shouts of mercy, for mercy had been rejected by the Roman king, who was more concerned with power than with the people's welfare. But in Jesus, the people understood that God was doing a new thing, and nothing could keep them silent. Jesus was the blessed king sent by God to save them, and nothing would keep them from following him. For 3 years, it's not a very long time, but nevertheless, a lot can happen in 3 years. Jesus had been traveling throughout the country, preaching in their temples, teaching among the people, healing those that were sick, and blessing those that were rejected. Yes, he was Mary's son, but he was so much more. When Jesus rose up out of the waters of baptism, he and all heard the voice of God say, "This is my son, the beloved in whom I am well pleased." And when everyone was asking who Jesus really was, Peter, his disciple, said to him, "Jesus, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." And now the crowds that surrounded him, singing and waving their palm branches, shouted praises, blessing Jesus as a long-awaited King of glory. But my brothers and sisters, have you ever had a conversation with someone and then somewhere along the way you realize that you were both talking about two completely different things? With great anticipation and expectation, the crowd believed that Jesus had come to overthrow the government. However, Jesus did not come to usher in a reign of power and might. He did not come to be Lord of a kingdom with national boundaries built out of brick and mortar. Jesus came to usher in a reign of love, whose kingdom is built out of the very lives of people who have been changed by God's grace. People who heard Jesus knock on the doors of their hearts and opened and welcomed him in. People who, when faced with many different paths to take, chose and decided to follow Jesus. People who desire that Jesus lead them and teach them and keep them always. People who looked up and at the cross and saw the consequences of their sin and also beheld the mercy and grace of God. People who know that in Christ there is life and it is eternal, and there is freedom and it is free indeed. People awakened by the healing power of love. In a spirit of humility and peace, Jesus rode into Jerusalem on a donkey to usher in the reign of love. And now here we are today, holding our own palms. We have come to celebrate Jesus as the King of our lives, who rules our hearts. However, the question before us is, will we follow him and allow his reign, his love to reign? Will we follow Jesus even if he leads us down paths that calls us out of our comfort zones? Will we follow Jesus and be his hands and his feet, his heart and his voice in a broken and hurting world? Will we follow Jesus and go where we may not know and do in his name what we may think is impossible? And lastly, will we follow Jesus so that love might reign? Will we follow Jesus so that love will win over hate and bigotry, so that love will overrule fear and motivate us to love with compassion, so that love will inspire us to be ambassadors of reconciliation and forgiveness, so that love will challenge us to work for peace and justice? Will we follow Jesus so that love will be the light that others see shining brightly in us? That, my brothers and sisters, is no small thing. Because as my friend, the Reverend Dr. Jackie Lewis, once said, what we learn in following Jesus is that love would be crucified for being love. The people that marched with Jesus didn't understand what was at stake that day. Soon their expectations would be dashed. They would become disillusioned, then angry, and ultimately hateful. Their shouts of praise would become cries to crucify him. And the crowd thought he had come to save them from the Roman government, but in actuality, Jesus had come to save us from ourselves. Today, my brothers and sisters, may we sing praises. May we wave our own palm branches. And may we follow the King of our hearts, who has changed us by the power of love and sends us out as vessels of that love, so that the kingdom of God might come and God's will be done here on earth as it is in heaven. To God be the glory. Amen.